InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
New research shows that pregnant women need to be cautious when using recreational drugs that can cause long-term impairment of their child. Here with the details, InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Malar Chakravarti, full professor in the Department of Psychiatry and researcher at the Douglas Research Center at McGill University. Professor, let's start by discussing a key aspect of your study. It involves prenatal exposure to, quoting now, modern high THC cannabis, unquote. So how much more potent is cannabis today as compared with previous decades?
I think it's actually very interesting what's happening in the cannabis world right now. THC is the part of the cannabis that gives you that telltale high that everyone kind of refers to in the context of using cannabis and cannabis-related products. And there's also another compound in there called CBD, which people often refer to as something that allows for maybe, and this is controversial, some of the medicinal properties of cannabis like analgesia or as a painkiller, for example. Nonetheless, the THC, which is that part that gives you the high, when people were buying weed on the street, the 80s, for example, the percent of what was in that cannabis was about 3%. So if you fast forward about 2022, 2025, when legalization has taken hold, you're seeing concentrations about 15%. So now we're at five times the amount. And in sometimes in some strains and in some preparations that are legal or available on the internet, you can see concentrations of THC at around 30%. So that's quite a lot higher than what people were accustomed to when they were buying cannabis off the street.
Very interesting. And now to the study itself, indicating that heavy cannabis use during pregnancy can disrupt brain growth in the baby, even into adulthood. How much is considered heavy use?
This is an open question. So in our study, what we did is we examined the lives of mice. And the reason we did that is because we know a lot about the lives of mice. We know that from the time an embryo is fertilized, it takes about 21 days for the pregnancy to finish. So a mouse is in gestation in the womb for 21 days, or the equivalent of the womb. And then after it's born, it takes about 90 days for that mouse to become an adult. And so heavy use, we were trying to model what people would be doing in that first trimester of pregnancy. And based on our survey of what people were using, either knowingly or unknowingly in that first trimester, because you can imagine that someone's using cannabis products and then in that first trimester, maybe they don't know that they're pregnant and if they should stop or not. We modeled it as somewhere between one or two joints a day. So it's heavier than occasional use.
And very briefly, if you can list the sorts of brain functions in a child that might be impaired.
There's a lot of evidence of different impairments due to cannabis exposure during the gestational period. One really pronounced one that's been seen in the literature for some time is impairments in learning behavior. So the child's ability to learn and concentrate in class early on. There's also evidence for things like depression and anxiety that maybe builds up a bit later in life, maybe towards the end of childhood, beginning of adolescence, maybe even a little later. And some people even think that there's a little bit of an elevated risk for psychiatric disorders like schizophrenia. So we're still in the early days. There isn't a ton of information out there about what might be happening in humans, which is one of the reasons why we conducted the study.
We're visiting with Malar Chakravarti, full professor in the Department of Psychiatry and researcher at the Douglas Research Center at McGill University. Their study indicates heavy cannabis use during pregnancy might cause a child's brain to develop abnormally. The journal Molecular Psychiatry published the study. Professor, I understand that your study did not cover items such as gummies or vapes containing cannabis. Do you have an opinion as to whether ingesting THC from those products might produce similar results?
It's very likely and it's potentially very possible. I think one of the challenges we have is that the metabolism, depending on the ingestion route, so whether it's vaping, smoking, or using edibles, is quite a bit different. And the length of time that it stays in the bloodstream is quite a bit different. But what we do know is that cannabis, or THC itself, does cross through the placenta, and you can find it in the unborn embryo before the child is born. And there's a number of studies that have examined this and looked at this, including ours. So there's evidence that we know that this is happening. And this is important because cannabis acts on a group of chemicals that are in the body called endocannabinoids. And they have a huge role in placing the embryo in the uterus and the development of the brain and the development of the body as well. So it's more than likely that some aspects of this study would be replicated depending on the administration route.
Now, I want to revisit a couple of interesting topics you mentioned earlier. First of all, you mentioned women using cannabis potentially before they realize they get pregnant. Is the message here then to stop cannabis use, even if you're intending to get pregnant?
This is really important. Our goal here isn't to mom shame. There's enough of that already, and it's not to demonize parents. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect pregnancy. Many people use cannabis for a number of reasons. Some use it even to deal with some of the feelings in pregnancy, like nausea, for example. And some people are using it well before they get pregnant to manage feelings of anxiety or depression, right? And so one thing we know is that an anxious mom or a depressed mom isn't good either. And stopping cold turkey when using cannabis could also increase those feelings of depression and anxiety very acutely during the pregnancy. So I think our goal here is to provide as much information as possible for pregnant women so they can make informed decisions on their own. In preparing this study, we consulted with many clinicians, many public health officials, and I think by and large, the takeaway that we had was that there's no clear indications of what to do. So right now, most guidelines are blindly stop using or reduce your consumption, but it's not based on really any hard evidence. So I think this is one of our goals in working with public policy and public health officials to try to figure out how we can now translate these findings into evidence-based guidelines for women who are pregnant.
But it is true, is it not, Professor, that doctors can find other ways to treat things like morning sickness or other conditions rather than using cannabis?
I don't deny that at all. I think one of the things that we're observing as well is that some people have preferences for cannabis because they perceive it as a natural product. I'm not saying that makes it usable or that they should use it, and I'm certainly not advocating one way or the other, just to be clear. But I do think what's important is that there are options, and people who are using cannabis should really consult with physicians and should inform themselves on what the negative consequences and potential consequences are of cannabis use for the unborn child and for the mom themselves as well.
Professor Malar Chakravarti of McGill University, hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
Next, parents shaping their kids' behavior as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.